Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Cross Church. We're glad to have you here in the Fayetteville campus. Also, we're glad to be joining today with our Pinnacle Hills campus. We're really glad to have you, especially if you're a first-time guest. Welcome. You're here on a different kind of day, special kind of day. Really, a few times a year, we do what we're doing today, where we all gather together across all campuses, and we've done that this morning through Fayetteville, Springdale, and Pinnacle Hills, and today we'll do that also at our 11 o'clock service together, because it is a big day. At the end of my sermon today, we will commission 31 college students to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for the summer. And we've also gathered together on video today because we have a big announcement. After doing it twice, I'd say it's a huge announcement, all right? I'll get to that in a little bit, all right? So I want you to grab your Bibles, turn to Esther chapter 7 with me. We got a lot of exciting things to share with you, and I'm going to get to that in just a little bit, but we've been in a short series, a three-week series on the book of Esther that we have called Life on Purpose. I'm going to conclude that today, and if you're unfamiliar with who Esther was a godly woman who got placed in a position that she never would have expected, and then got placed in a predicament that she never could have imagined, and yet God strategically placed her there so that he could do a miracle in rescuing the people of God. We'll get into that today. Week one, we talked about how you are molded by relationships. That was true in Esther's life. That's true in your life as well. Last Sunday, we talked about how God matures us for moments. Here's what that means. Nothing in your life is outside of the hand of God. Even the hard things in your life, God can turn those and use those for good. And so that's a very encouraging thing that that God does. And God has promised to use all those things for his purposes. And so today we continue. We're going to bring this story to a conclusion. Again, we're doing Esther in the three-week series right here. You could do Esther over 12, 13, 14 weeks in all reality. So we're not covering a lot, but we're just giving you a quick rundown. Today's message, we're going to title Made for More. In other words, you are made for more. And when you live a life of purpose, that's when you find out that you are made for more. And I'm going to talk about what that actually means today. Now, with that in mind, let's jump into the book of Esther. If you are coming in hot to this series, haven't been here the first couple weeks, let me begin. I'm going to begin in chapter 5, but you just keep your finger in chapter 7. I'm just going to explain what has happened, okay? Again, if you're brand new today, the queen Esther here was chosen to be queen alongside of a guy named King Ahasuerus, also was known as King Xerxes in the Bible here. There's also a wicked man by the name of Haman. Haman was a big anti-Semite. He hated the Jews and actually convinced the king to put out a certain edict that on a certain day, all people across the kingdom had the freedom to kill any Jews wherever they lived on this certain day of the calendar. He is dead set on ridding the world of the Jews. And Esther's cousin Mordecai, who's a father figure to her, got word to Esther about what was going on. And he basically said this, hey, who knows if maybe you've been raised up for such a time as this. Now, our passage ended last week with Esther inviting the king to a banquet, and chapter 5 really begins with a journey towards having the king and Haman all together at a feast. Well, Haman goes home and brags about being invited to have dinner with the king and queen, and he says something to this effect, guys, I'm rich, I got a lot of sons, I've been promoted with the king above all the other people, and even Queen Esther has invited me to eat with her and the king. And yet, here's what's on his mind. He says, yet it's all worthless as long as Mordecai the Jew, that's how he would reference him, as long as Mordecai the Jew sits at the gate. Can we all agree together here at the 11 a.m.? This guy's a little bit insecure, all right? Very, very much so insecure. He is so bothered by what Mordecai has done. He walked by the gate, and Mordecai did not stand and honor him with all the other people. He just kind of sat there, and so he is so ticked off at Mordecai. And he just talks about, even the queen has invited me to a feast. Now, if you know where the story ends, this is the most ironic, braggadocious thing in the world for him to boast about, because that's actually how he's going to die, all right? And that's where we get to chapter 7. Haman had just created a gallows. You know what a gallows is? A gallows is where they would hang people. And so he has created a gallows to hang Mordecai. He hates this Jewish guy so much, he's ready to kill him. And so the time comes when the feast happens with the king and queen, and the king begins this whole scene, and he says, "Esther, whatever you wish, I'm going to grant to you. Up to half my kingdom you can have." And Esther just begins to pour out what's going on with the attack on the Jewish nation. She says this in verse 4. Follow along with me. She says, "For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have been silent, for our affliction is not to be compared with the loss to the king." Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is he? And where is he? And who has dared to do this?" And then, and again, one of the most baller moves you'll find anywhere, Esther just points over to Haman and says, "A foe and an enemy, this wicked Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. Pause there. Let me make sure you understand what has happened. Esther tells the king, "My people are under attack." You see, the king didn't realize that Esther was a Jew. And so now they get to this whole scenario, and the king's ticked off. He's like, "Well, who's behind all this?" And she points right at Haman and says, "It's this dude right over here." You see, Haman, you can imagine Haman thinking that he's a big honored guest. You can imagine him strolling into the feast. He's got a long robe maybe behind him. And pretty much, bro, you are not the honored guest. You are the intended target of the night. And so he is scared to death for his life, and it actually cost him his life. Another bit of irony, Haman is actually hung on the same gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. You may read this story and be like, "Well, whew, okay, the Jewish people are going to be saved. Haman is now dead." Well, here you got to know a little bit about ancient Bible history. And this is where the beginning of chapter 8 kind of leads us into, is that whenever the king made a law, it could not be revoked. And he could add to it, and that's exactly what he did here. So the law still stood that on a certain day, all across 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia, on this certain day, people were to kill the Jews. The king added a second edict, and here's what it was, that all of these Jews had the ability and the freedom to fight back. In other words, they didn't have to sit there and take it, but they could actively defend themselves. And the Bible tells us there is great gladness and joy amongst the Jews spread out throughout the provinces that they can do that. Here's where a God thing occurred. And this is like where you begin to see God turning the event. There's a strange phenomenon here throughout all 127 provinces. People who are not Jews begin to call themselves Jews because they are afraid of the Jews. So God is shifting the story right here. It's just fascinating. Turn over a page or two to chapter 9. And I wanted you to look at verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. "Now in the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's command and edict were about to be carried out, on the very day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain mastery over them," here's what the Bible says. If you got your Bible, underline this passage. The reverse occurred. Can I just pause there for a second and say that God specializes in reversing situations? So those of you who have a difficult marriage right now, you see no hope whatsoever, God specializes in reversing marriages. For those of you who have a relationship with a child who you feel like they are too far gone, like they are too out of the lane of where God wants them to be, God specializes in reversing situations. And we could talk about that in a myriad of ways. What happened? Keep on reading in verse 1. "The Jews instead, they gained mastery over those who hated them. The Jews gathered in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm. And no one could stand against them, for the fear of them had fallen on all peoples." Pretty amazing story. I told you this last week, and it's good to reiterate this again today. One of the strange and unique things about the book of Esther is that the name of God is not mentioned anywhere in the book. And I told you last week, just because the name of God isn't mentioned doesn't mean he's not present and he's not active. Look at the miracle of this story and see the evidence of the threat of God's movement throughout. God had placed a Jewish queen alongside the king. God gave favor to Esther when she asked for help from the king. God drastically turned the situation where in one passage, all the Jews are about to be killed. The next passage, people who aren't Jews are like, yeah, I'm a Jew. I don't want to die. I'm a Jew. And the Jews stand up to defend themselves, and across all the provinces, they gain victory. Do you think that God is absent in the story? Yes or no? Just call it out. Not absent at all whatsoever. If you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. I think this is the message of Esther. And you see it again and again and again, okay? God knows where his people are, what they're dealing with, and how to best help them. Isn't that a good word for your life today? God knows where his people are, what they're dealing with, and how to best help them. Can I make it personal about your own life today? God knows exactly where you are, what you're dealing with, and how best to help you. Can we move beyond just individually? And can we just think about, you know, we're all gathered together across Northwest Arkansas through video today. Can we think about ourselves as one church, not individuals? God knows where we are, what we're dealing with, and how to best help us. God cares about his own. God cares about his own. We see that time and time and time again throughout the book of Esther. And so as we wrap up the book of Esther today, be encouraged and take that truth back with you. The rest of the chapter tells us how the Jews gained mastery over everybody else. 500 of their enemies are killed in Susa. The 10 sons of Haman that he was bragging about, they are also hanged. And 75,000 enemies of the Jews are killed throughout the provinces. Pretty wild story. Look down at verse 19 and we'll begin to wrap up this section here. Bible says, therefore the Jews of the villages who live in the rural towns hold the 14th day of the month of Adar as a day of gladness and feasting, as a holiday, and as a day on which they send gifts of food to one another. This is now called the Feast of Purim. And so Jews in that day, it was inaugurated to reflect on how God saved the Jews. Do you know this? Even today, Jewish people still celebrate the Feast of Purim to remember Esther saved the people of God. You get a little bit of the idea of why we titled this message, Made for More. If there was ever a leader in the Bible who was made for more, who God used in a situation to live a life of purpose, it was Esther, raised up from obscurity to second in the kingdom. She was made for more. And can I add to that statement that she was just made for more? Like that's you know, something to say that one thing. But can I add to that? More than what she even realized at the time. Like I wonder if Esther's in heaven now, like has full understanding of the Bible and history and the Jewish people. And she's like, oh, I guess that was kind of a big deal back in the day that I did, you know? Probably beyond what she was even comfortable with. And maybe your life is the same, that God is using you and about to use you to grow his kingdom in ways beyond what you even realize in this moment and ways beyond what you are even comfortable with. You know, it's interesting, as I use the title, you're made for more, what you got to understand is the world defines more in one way and God defines more in an entirely different way. All right, let me talk through these two. The world would define more like this. It's more recognition. Okay? More recognition. It's very easy to take a message like I'm giving today of, man, you're made for more. You're made for more. And it's very easy to make that incredibly self-centric where your life is all about you. Now, everybody at every campus, I want you to listen to me and listen to me loud and clear today. Every person within the sound of my voice will face the same temptation. And what is that temptation? Here's the same temptation we will all face. It's to make our lives all about ourselves. In every phase of our life, at every moment of our lives, we will face the temptation to make your life all about you. More recognition, more of you, more focus on yourself. And the world will give you that every day of the week. The world will tell you things like, man, just follow your heart. Live out your truth. And it's just garbage, right? It's just the opposite of what God tells us to do. So the world would define more like that, recognition. But how about this one? Just more possessions. Some people think, I mean, I've made it when I have the money to buy more, whatever that more is. And before you know it, all that that money does is it just leads you to a spiral down and down and down and down, just to focus more on yourself. It's the same issue as the first thing. And so the world will tell you, man, you deserve more. You've earned it, like you do. And God just has a different definition of what he means when he says you're made for more. What does God mean by the definition of more? Here's what God means. More. It's more about people. It's more about people. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about promotion, not about position, but it's about other people. Esther's life screams to us this vital truth. Be willing to sacrifice your life for the sake of other people. Now, in Esther's story, as we've read over the last few weeks, that could have cost her her life. That's probably not the case for all of us in these rooms together. But it could be that God is asking you to spend and invest your own life for the sake of other people. Is your life about other people? Is our church about other people? You know, in our church, here's the way I'd encourage us to think about evangelism, discipling people, sending people. It's always just about the next one person. It's not about the next group of people, crowd of people. It's always just about the next one. And this is how God uses us, just one by one by one to reach people. You may be here today and you've been through all 3 weeks with us in this series and you say, Nick, I want to live a life of purpose. How do I live a life of purpose? I want to live a life made for more. Here's what I would tell you. You will never live a life of purpose if it's not focused on the kingdom of God. That's true today. It was true back when Esther lived. It'll be true 1,000 years from now if the Lord does not return. You want to live a life for more? You want to live a life of purpose? It's all about the kingdom of God. So will you sell out to the kingdom of God? That's the question for you today. And again, if I could push it beyond you and push it to an us thing as a church, will we sell out to grow the kingdom of God? That's the question on the table for each and every one of us. That is the story of Esther in 3 weeks, okay? A lot more to it, as I discussed, but what a journey that's been for us, okay? Now, let me transition here to a moment, all right? As we told you, we've had a big announcement that we're ready to make for you today. This is something we've been working on about 4 months, all right? And I wish that I could hear all the things that you have guessed that it was going to be. Some of you have quite the imagination about what we are announcing today, as if we have bought the state of Arkansas. Okay, that is not what the case is. But we have had a quite exciting development that I want to let you know about today. Our pastor's council has walked hand in hand with us step by step throughout this over the last several months together, deeply involved as we have talked about and discussed together what is best for the future of the church. If you're new to our church, or maybe you just don't understand how our church is governed, we have a group called the Pastor's Council, who their number one job is to bring counsel to the pastor. Very creative name we've come up with, right? This group serves as the financial accountability of the church. They are elected by you. There are 3 pastors on this group, and there are 7 laymen on this group who they're involved in, like I said, the financial accountability. They are involved in all major purchases of the church, and they bring really expertise, especially our laymen, bring expertise in financial things, business-related things, and I'm so proud of these men. I will be the pastor 4 years next month, and in my 4 years of being in this role, I have never seen this group rise higher than they have risen during this. And so I just want to encourage you, church family, you are led well by godly men, by godly pastors who are a part of big decisions alongside of us. A few years ago, we tried to set a new course as a church where we really had the goal of operating differently than how most churches operate financially. We set out to live with margin in our everyday life, and God has blessed us in an amazing way as we have journeyed towards this goal. Last September on Vision Sunday, we told you that we were entering into $24 million worth of projects here at Fayetteville, Springdale, and Pinnacle Hills that will all happen over the next several years together, all of which we plan to pay with cash. Right over here to my left and your right, we are building a student building for teenagers at Fayetteville. It is already paid for in full. There, those of you at the Pinnacle Hills building right there, the month of July or so, we plan to break ground on our building for teenagers up there, all of which we plan to pay with cash. Those of you at Springdale, we are renovating one of the oldest parts of the entire church. Like if you've ever been to the Springdale campus, there's some parts that are really nice and some parts that you say, oh my word, okay? And you know, we're in a long-term renovation project right there. But we are renovating this summer the entire preschool hallway, which it is so old. If you walk in there at night, there are actually ghosts of old women rocking babies in there. I'm just kidding. That's good though, right? That's funny. I like that one. But it is one of the oldest parts of the building. It's getting renovated this summer. Again, all of which will be paid with cash and no debt. So as we journey towards, praise the Lord for that. That's awesome. Those are honestly just a few of the projects we talked about. If you remember September, we've got more things that are coming beyond those that will happen over the next several years together. But as we were journeying towards all of this, the Lord sent us a curveball. And it's a good curveball, but if you play baseball as a kid, it's one of those curveballs that it appeared as it was coming straight at your face. And you thought to yourself, oh no, what are we going to do? And it relates with this campus that I'm at today with our Fayetteville campus. Our Fayetteville campus has grown at an increasing pace this spring. Don't know if you've realized that, all of you in the room here. But this campus has averaged over 3,100 people in attendance this spring. That means they've averaged that, which means there are days that are higher than that. Easter was higher than that. We broke 6,000 people at this campus on Easter Sunday, which what that means is we have way more people that consider this their church. They just don't all come on the same Sunday until Easter Sunday, okay, along with guests. God's doing a great and special work right here. But here's the great thing, and this is a part of the family you're a part of. And I want to take just a few moments here, because we're all connected across the campuses today, to just give a big praise to the Lord. I've got great news for you. All three campuses are thriving. And by the way, it's always better when all three campuses are thriving. Okay, so I want you to have a big picture view. If you're here at Fayetteville, you need to be concerned with how Springdale and Pinnacle are doing. If you're there at Pinnacle, you need to be concerned with how are Springdale and Fayetteville doing. Why? Because they're a part of the church. We're all one big family, just separated by a little distance, okay? So let me give you some good news, all right? Let me speak about the Springdale campus first of all. Springdale campus on Easter Sunday had the highest attendance that it has had in about the last decade on Easter Sunday, which is really great, okay? Last Sunday evening, we had Growth Trek, which is our kind of our entry thing to the church for everybody who comes here. Some people join the church. We saw people get saved last Sunday night, by the way. People get baptized right at Growth Trek. And just an incredible thing. Springdale campus had the highest number that they have ever had of people going through Growth Trek, which is an incredible thing. Here was my favorite. My favorite thing about Easter happened not at Fayetteville and not at Pinnacle Hills. I apologize to both of you campuses, okay? My favorite thing that happened, I actually was not even a part of at Easter. Our Espanol service at the Springdale campus had over 600 people at Espanol. And here's the cool thing. They baptized 55 people on Easter Sunday. Isn't that cool? Those of you at Pinnacle Hills today, let me give you some good news about where you're at. On Easter Sunday, it was the highest attendance ever in the history of the Pinnacle Hills campus. Even as you look at this spring, you are averaging more people this spring than you ever have in the entirety of your 20-plus year history. As I mentioned, all three campuses had Growth Track this last week, and it was a huge night on all campuses. This is something we don't need to get over. We're talking about like thousands of people and all that kind of stuff. We don't need to miss smaller numbers that are extremely significant. This last Sunday night, we had 173 people join our church. Isn't that cool? Praise the Lord for that. And we can clap for that. Here's the most exciting thing that is happening today. Okay, and that's happened all year. Our church calendar runs from about mid-August to mid-August, and so we still have several months left in the church calendar year. But at the end of our service here today at Fayetteville, we will have baptized over 800 people at Cross Church this year, which is a big praise. Lord, let's all give God praise about that. Let me remind us, that's why we're here, to introduce people to the Lord Jesus who are far from the Lord, develop them in their Christian living, and send them out to a lost world. And that's what we're in the middle of doing, okay? Let me get back to those of you here at the Fayetteville campus, okay? You recognize what I will call are the great problems of this growth this spring, okay? I know you see them as great problems as well. Especially when the semester here is really humming. Our 9:30 and 11 a.m. services are full almost every Sunday. Even look around this room. Here we are at the end of the semester, April 30th, and you see there's not a whole lot of seats left right here in this room. And in other words, as great as all this was, we were beginning to hit a ceiling of how many people we could actually reach at the Fayetteville campus. It's one thing for us, who you don't mind fighting a little parking, traffic, getting in, you know what time to get here, you're bought into the church. It's another thing entirely for a first-time guest who shows up here and didn't know that they needed to show up like they were showing up for a flight and allow enough time to get on campus, and then they couldn't find a parking spot. By the time they did and they got in here, they got their kids checked in and they sat down, especially at the beginning of the two semesters, you know, and they find out they're not even in a good seat. They are in one of these little alcoves back here where the doors are, and it's just not a great experience for a first-time guest, okay? To give you some perspective on our buildings, Springdale has the most at 350,000 square feet. Pinnacle, you have about 170,000 square feet of space. Fayetteville, when the new student building is done, we will have about 77,000 square feet of space. So just to kind of give you some perspective, it's amazing that we are piling this many people into this building with this amount of parking. Can I say it again? This amount of parking, all right? And so as a result, we seriously began to consider all options. All options were on the table. When I say all, I mean all. The first option we considered was sending hundreds of you at the Fayetteville campus asking you to consider moving full-time to the Springdale campus. It's the closest one to us, still have some space, and that was one option. We came this close to, it was probably in February, we came this close to starting another campus in Fayetteville to try to relieve hundreds of you from here to go start a new campus elsewhere in Fayetteville. And I would just tell you, at the last second, literally the day that we were going to sign a letter of intent, God closed the door. Now, I will dangle this in front of you that I'm not so sure that we're not going to be here in a few years of needing to do this. So we'll see what the Lord does, but just throwing that out here, okay? We began to look at our own campus, and we inquired about the land right over here to our east. We inquired about the land right behind us, right behind where I'm preaching today. And both of those were not options for a myriad of reasons, okay? Whether it was already planned for something or whether it's price or all that kind of stuff. On a whim, we contacted the owner of Fitness One right across the street diagonally from where we sit today. And we just began to inquire if he would be willing to sell. And it was a miracle that he was open to the conversation. And we began talking with him about what it might take to purchase the building known as Fitness One. I told you, we were pretty committed financially in a lot of directions, $24 million over the next several years. And so this was something beyond what we could do on our own. And yet the Lord has done a miracle in our midst. And that God has provided a way for us to purchase the Fitness One building as a church, okay? Now, let me, we can celebrate. Let me explain what has happened, okay? We have entered into a partnership with a few church members, a few families to purchase this building. For those of you that have been at the church for a long time, you may remember that the land on which we now have a campus, we had an almost identical deal with a few church members who bought the land, and then we ultimately paid them back for the land. Here's the basic framework of this financial deal. There's a lot of detail to it, but let me keep it high. We as a church are responsible for the down payment of the building, and we are responsible for the renovations of Fitness One, okay? This group of families, they have purchased the building, and they will lease it back to us over a five-year period. At the end of 5 years, we will have fully paid for the building, and we will own the Fitness One building. Here's the great news. As of Friday, this deal has closed. It is complete, and in about a month or so, we will have full use of the Fitness One building. Praise the Lord. Now, let me point something out that we don't need to miss, okay? In the midst of all the cool stuff, let me point this out. Because you have given so generously across all the campuses, we are prepared for unexpected opportunities like this. We had no idea this was gonna happen. Had no idea y'all were gonna grow so much, Fayetteville, okay? No idea. So when I stood before the entire church on Vision Sunday in September and talked about all these other things, we had no idea what was about to happen at our own church as we move forward. And I would just add, because we have tried to faithfully steward your gifts and operate with margin as a church, we are prepared for unexpected opportunities like this. I want everybody just look at this freshly shaved, beautiful bald head right here this morning for you, okay? Never forget what I'm about to tell you, okay? Your giving makes a difference. Makes a difference. You're about to impact a ton of people because of just your faithful, every week or every 2 weeks, generosity, however you give. And thank you for your giving. Now, this is a significant purchase, as you can imagine. And these are some significant renovations that we will undertake. And so if the Lord leads you to be a part of helping us pay for that, by all means, come and talk to us. And all that that does is it allows us to continue to push the mission forward, and we're able to continue to pay for this project and the next project as we continue to reach people for Jesus. As always, we move at the speed of your generosity. Thank you, church, for your generosity. Now, let me show you the outside of the building. I actually went skydiving the other day and held a camera in the midst of that. So here it is. You'll see me. I was zooming down with the camera in hand. This is a 44,000 square foot building that will give us approximately 280 more parking spaces, which means we will roughly almost double our parking capacity. Can I get an amen, Fayetteville campus? Isn't that good? And the great thing is, it is right across the street, just diagonal from our current facility. Can I bring Esther back into the Cross Church story here? Just like in the story of Esther, the Lord always had an eye on his people and always has an eye on his church. We didn't know what God was doing. And in all reality, there was a moment where I panicked and thought, Lord, we just got in this building 5 years ago, and I thought we had built the forever home of Fayetteville. And I began to panic, thinking, what in the world are we going to do? And yet God was moving, and God has provided in addition to that like we could have never imagined. You may say, well, Nick, how are we going to use the building? I think it's a great question. I'll get to that here in a second. Let me explain how this helps us right here in this room in the worship center. This stage upon which I stand is not a solid concrete stage. It's called a modular stage, which means it can be moved. It can be pulled back and a shortened stage. And so we can add about 100 to 150 seats in this room. We've always had that capability. Now, you may look at me and say, well, you idiot. Why are y'all just now doing that now? Well, let me say why, okay? This is like real church work right here. Like, this is what we have to think through. It was useless to add seats in here if we didn't have parking out there. But now that we got parking out there, we can adjust the seating in here. And so most likely around the fall, season of the fall, when the crowds really come back in a wave, we'll think about creatively adjusting the room, get some more seats in this room. And this also, this additional parking allows us to consider adding a second worship venue on this campus. Many churches across America do that when space is an issue. You may have been at a church like that where they say, hey, we're going to go to this area now. We'll start a second service there. So we're very open to that. We'll see what the Lord does. Bottom line is this allows us here at Fayetteville to continue to reach people with the gospel of Jesus, okay? Here's the most exciting part of today. Let me explain how we are going to utilize this building. We're making a significant investment right away with a down payment and renovations, and a significant investment over the next 5 years into reaching the 30,000 college students at the University of Arkansas. This building will become the new home of Cross Church College, our ministry known as C3. Praise the Lord for that. For those of you at Pinnacle Hills, you may not understand the geography here, but literally if you just drive straight and turn right, you're on the campus of the university. And so this is a giant thing. We're saying we are planting a flag right here and saying, students, we love you and we have the hope that you need. You may not understand why this is needed beyond just parking and all that, but let me explain what the Lord has done with C3 over the years, and this is true even today. We have roughly 1,000 college students who are connected with our church. They're just like you. They may not come on every Wednesday night, but if you pulled all of them together, it would be probably well over 1,000 at some level. And we're about to commission 31 college students from the college ministry. Our biggest feeder into the Crusher School of Ministry is C3. And we believe our greatest hope of sending missionaries in the future all over the world is through our college ministry. In other words, church, I'd say to us this way, all of you adults across the campuses, this is our future. They are our future. And I would add to you, they are also our present right here and right now. You may be at one of the other campuses today and you say, well, Nick, why in the world do we gather together to just hear a ministry announcement about the college ministry or that Fayetteville got a building? What does that have to do with us, all right? Here's how I would say it. All of you watching at Pinnacle Hills today, when you hear C3, Cross Church College, when you hear about C3, you think, that's our college ministry. When Springdale people hear about it, they go, that's our college ministry. All of you at Fayetteville, you go, man, that's our college ministry. Here's what I'd say to all three campuses. You are 100% accurate and correct. This is one of the few ministries that really does span the entire church and affect the whole church. And this is a giant leap towards the future. Now, I'm about to show you some pictures of the inside. Before I do that, let me kind of just speak a little reality into our rooms today. While we're all excited in this room today, the reality in us purchasing a building where a business lives means that there are some people who are going to be looking for a job now. And so in the midst of our excitement, I just want us as a church just to be compassionate towards people. There are people in these two rooms, I'm sure, who you are a member at Fitness One, you work out there weekly, and you are just finding out that you have lost your gym. You have mixed emotions. I completely get it. I apologize. I don't know what to say, okay? Let me show you some pictures here. And let's start at the front entrance. You'll see right here, this is what the building looks like. It's a beautiful front entrance right there when you pull up to it. And then in a short time, it will look like this, okay? Be incredible. Let me show you a map view, kind of a Google map view that shows you how the two buildings are connected with parking. We actually own that triangle of grass space. We own part of that. So our hope is to add parking or something there that connects the two spaces a little bit better here in the future sometimes. This next picture is of the front lobby. It's a beautiful front lobby right when you walk in. They've done a fantastic job with that building. It's about 5 years old. When we built this campus, they built that. And isn't it just like the Lord that even architecturally, it looks like it's supposed to be together. It's as if God knew, okay? Here's the downstairs where all the treadmills are. All the equipment will be gone. Don't try to buy it from us or just pull a fast one on us. We do not own the facility stuff inside, okay? The owner will take all of that, but it's gonna be a great thing. And then we also have a full court gym in there, which is just gonna be massive for college students and gonna be some very heated pickup games in there where, you know, probably some fights, but hey, to God be the glory, right? Okay. Let me give you some blueprints of what we've been working on. This is downstairs. If you see the entry to the right, that's the main entrance right there. It's a lot of hang space. So students can come in during the day and study. They can meet for Bible study. We'll have small groups in here. You see a coffee area that we will construct because you know it, college students love them some coffee, right? And hey, even got a little woo on that one from the college students. where it says Fellowship Hall, this is when you exit the Fayetteville campus today towards Weddington. This is the pool area. We will cover the pool. We will cover the hot tub. I apologize. There ain't no way we're keeping that, all right? And so for a myriad of reasons that I will not get into in this setting, but this will become a large gathering space. To tell you the scope of this, we can fit about 400 people just in that room alone. And so it's a huge thing. Look upstairs. This is kind of the crown jewel of it. We're building a sanctuary upstairs where all the weights are currently, if you know the facility. This will seat about 750 to 775 students, which means C3 will go to two services in the fall when this will be done, which would be really, really cool. So we see this as a place where colleges will come and hang out, be attracted to this. I mean, this is right on the main drag of Weddington. This is located better than we are located as a church right here. And this is just going to be an amazing thing. Luke Harper told me, he said, whenever we're on campus and we tell students where the church is, we say, we're the church behind Fitness One. Now we say, we are the church that is Fitness One, which is a really cool thing, okay? Now, all of you Fayetteville campus people, and really even you at Pinnacle, the whole church is going to get to use this thing. You think about how adult small groups on Sunday mornings can be expanded across the street right there. You think about VBS for children who need an indoor space when it's 90 degrees outside and they can have a gym. There it is. Student ministry, who have a big freedom weekend for teenagers. Now we have this building. It's just an incredible, incredible win for the whole church, okay? I want you to hear me loud and clear. We're not doing this because we need another building. We got the buildings. Trust me. I feel the constant weight as the pastor of the upkeep and the maintenance and all that it takes to upkeep these buildings. Buildings aren't sexy to me, okay? Like I understand you got to have them sometimes, but listen, I know what comes along with it, even the one that we have just purchased. But when I say we were at our wits' end about what to do, we were at our wits' end. And I panicked in January when I walked out. And I hang around and talk to people. When I walked out and traffic was backed up to the door back here, I thought, what in the world are we going to do? And God knew. And like Esther, God had more in store. And his more is what? It's focused on people, and it is focused on the kingdom of God, in this specific instance, on the next generation. You know, we're in an Esther moment as a church. God could have located this church anywhere in Fayetteville. He placed us 5 minutes on what is really one of two major exits to get to the University of Arkansas. 5 minutes from the university. One of the exciting things that we're actually doing as well is we will be relocating the School of Ministry to this building. School of Ministry will now be housed, and there's a 1,600 square foot, it's really like a bar room, like a ballet type yoga room on the top floor. That's where the School of Ministry will now be housed. It's connected to a classroom that will be just the perfect spot for it. And we're thrilled beyond belief about this. If you don't know what the School of Ministry is, this is when it's a one-year residency that we take men and women who feel called to serve God in the local church and in missions. We walk with them for a year and send them out across the world. When this current class graduates in July, we will have sent right on the dot 200 students across the world to be in ministry. And if we had a map and we could put them up on the screen where these students were, they'd be all over the world. And in fact, some of them we actually could not put on a map because they are in locations that it could cost them their life or it could cost them in other ways if they're found out. So in other words, the center of our sending as a church is now going to be right across the street here at this building. Let me kind of bring it to closure here. Okay, let me sum up all of this. We did not just purchase a cruise ship that is all about entertainment. Okay? And you may hear all this and be like, man, we just purchased a cool place for the college to hang out. You're missing it if that's the case. Okay? We did not just purchase a cruise ship. I really sincerely, wholeheartedly believe we just purchased an aircraft carrier. And we're about to send out pastors, ministers, missionaries across the world for decades and decades to come. Amen. I was going to say something when I wrote all this out. I said it in a certain way, in a more gentle way. And I'm going to throw that the caution to the wind, okay? We are 153 years old as a church. I believe when we look back 20 years from today, I really believe this, that we will say as a church, this was the single most effective missionary sending thing that we have ever done as a church. I mean, this is an amazing thing that God has done. And I was just in, I've held it together all day long. I was just in tears driving here today. When we were on the strip mall for 7 long years, we were looking at this property, just hoping and praying. And I would drive, I used to live over in east side of Fayetteville, and I would drive over and I would park at this corner of the parking, of where the parking lot is. And I would go through my message for the day. I'd be talking it out loud. And then as I would wrap up, I would just say, God, would you give us this land? And I had no idea that not only would God give us this land, but God would have given us the land behind me as I was praying. Just a miracle. Said simply, the wind of the Spirit of God is blowing at Cross Church. Do you sense it? Don't miss it. Don't be a fringe person during the season of the church. You'll regret it. Jump in. The last 4 months, all we have done is we have tried to raise the sail to say, Lord, where's the Spirit blowing right now? And the Lord just blew us across the street. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. One more time, can we give God praise for what he's done today? Well, as if that wasn't cool enough, here's how the Lord worked the calendar. We had already scheduled on April 30th to commission 31 college students to the nations. And right here, we've been working and working and working and working, and the deal closed Friday, April 28th. I'm gonna invite these 31 college students up here. And let me give you some of the background if you're newer to the church. In November, we had a day called Legacy Sunday, and we set out before you the dream of sending around 30 college students on mission to Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world to go on mission during the summer. We wanted to do that free of charge to them and free of charge to the places where they were going. And the great news is, church, again, let me harp on your generosity. Because if your generosity to the Decade of Love offering, this is the reality right here. These 31 college students have been through a process of vetting, and now they are about to be sent out. Some will be sent right here this summer to Cross Church, reaching Northwest Arkansas. So you'll see some of these people this summer all around town, okay? The others are gonna be sent to New York City, where we are planting Spanish-speaking churches right now, Denver, Orlando, London, and Malawi, Africa, to take the gospel to the world. Isn't that awesome? Again, let me make sure you understand the big picture here. This means that these churches we're planting in New York City, Denver, London, and Orlando will get an intern for free. Somebody to help them as they are suffering in the midst of church planting, which is a hard work. And God's sending these people to go do it. Isn't that cool? All you college students out there in this room today, you college students there watching at Pinnacle today, I want you to understand that you got a church that loves you, believes in you, and is heavily investing in you. It's my third time to say it to y'all. Let me reiterate it one more time. This church loves you, believes in you, and is heavily investing in you this summer, okay? We believe in you. Now, in just a moment, we're all going to join together across the campuses. We're going to pray for these 31 who are about to be sent out. We're going to commission them. Here's the cool thing at Pinnacle Hills today, all right? We have sent to you about 20 to 30 college students who serve on our dream team. They're the leaders of C3. They went up there without any idea of the announcement that we were about to make. They were just told, we need you to go to the Pinnacle Hills campus. And they said, okay. And they went, okay? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to all join together in prayer for these. And as soon as I say amen and the video breaks, these college students at the Pinnacle Hills campus are going to spread out across the worship center. And you, as the members of that church, we're going to ask you to get up out of your seat and to go put your arm around one of these students, to encourage them with your words, to give them a hug around their neck. And why don't you pray for them? And we're going to have a time of commissioning through you at that campus. So in just a moment, Chris Deitch is going to come up. And he's going to lead you in the remainder, just a few more minutes of the service, okay? Right now, here's what we're going to do. I want everybody across all the campuses, why don't we just lift our hands towards these students? I've got Gunnar up here with me, one of our college staff who's been instrumental in C3 Send. And let's just pray for these students, okay? Let's send them out together. Lord, I thank you for the faith of these men and women. Lord, I pray that you would use them in ways beyond what they even understand, like Esther, beyond what they're even comfortable with. Lord, would you do a special, special, special work in them? By the power of the Holy Spirit, we send them out from this church. We believe in them and we love them. Take care of their every need. Protect them in every way. Lord, use them to lead people to Christ this summer, to help Christians grow in their faith this summer. And we will give you all the glory. Lord Jesus, show us your power this summer through these students. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.